Well, the word's good.
Amen.
Genesis 22, we can start. Oh, what's God going to do this service?
Amen.
Oh, he's does something good for us. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's faithful.
Amen.
He's faithful. Genesis 22, let's pray and believe God for utterance this morning. Father, we're just so honored to be in church. Lord, this is my favorite place to be on a Sunday morning. Just so thankful. Father, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. And I mean that, Father. And my flesh might, my mind might, but I know the real me. This is where I'm at, home. This is home, Father. Spiritual home for me. And Father, I'm so thankful. Jesus, you're here this morning, and so we're in good company. Father, I thank you so much for the precious people that would come out on maybe the cold, what would be the coldest day of the year, Father. And just thank you for their faithfulness. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless them and help them and instruct them, guide them, speak to them this morning. And Father, my words not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Lord, they don't need to hear from me and what I think. And Father, I mean that. I want to speak as the oracles of God, not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Father, people need to hear from the throne room of heaven this morning. There's so many people here that have different things going on in their life, different circumstances, different tests and trials. So say something through me, Father, that will strike a chord in their heart. And Father, when that happens, because I know you're faithful to do what I've asked, because I'm asking according to what you already want, what you've already stated we could have in the Word. So as you do that this morning, Father, I pray that people would not be ignorant to that, and they would not be blind to that, but they would recognize that, not number one, that you're real, and that you're speaking to them, and that this is a place where they can come hear from you, Father. So Lord, we'll give you the praise and the glory for everything said and done here today, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Genesis 22. Verse 1, hallelujah, praise God. Just wait on God for a second. There's just something in my spirit that needs to come out. So let's go ahead and worship Him. Just lift your voice and praise Him. Okay. But don't miss this, but who needs healing in their ears? Come forward and don't wait. Praise God. Whoever needs healing in their ears, that's what the Lord wants to do this morning. Praise God. Praise the name of Jesus. Just come up here and line up in the front here. Praise God. Mary Jo, can you get the cloths underneath there, please? And praise His name forevermore. I just wanted to go and start preaching. That's all I wanted to do. And there was just something in my heart, so I had to pray that out in my spirit. And that's what the Lord wants to do. So, praise God. We'll start down here. In the name of Jesus, we command all the hearing to be restored into His body. From the top of His head to the bottom of His feet. Hearing, you come back in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, we command body to be whole. Hearing, you come back in Jesus' name. Hearing, you come back in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, be healed in your ears, from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, healed and whole. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, we command that hearing to come back in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, just give Him praise. Give Him glory. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. I'm going to move this back, but I'm not sure we're done yet, but we'll see. Praise God. Let me just say this, because I'll tell you, when I first saw stuff like this, I said, my goodness, what happened? But the Bible says in Mark chapter 16, through Jesus, He's looked this up, because don't take my word for it. Who cares what I say, and who cares what any TV preacher says, or anybody that has a church? If they're not preaching or doing things that the Bible says to do, then we don't want any of it. But the Bible says you lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And the Bible also talks about, we're learning about the gifts of the Spirit, which are called, one of the gifts of the Spirit's a word of knowledge. Well, every single person that came up here, I had no idea that they were dealing with hearing problems, but God did. And He called that out. And then, why? Because there's a purpose. He wants to heal that. And so, those of you that had hands laid on them, we see Jesus doing it all through the Bible, putting His hands on people. Not because my hands have any healing power in them, but God works through people. Jesus isn't here to touch people anymore. But His body is.
Amen.
We're called the body of Christ. We're the hands and feet. So if we're going to do things the way Jesus did them, we're going to have to do it ourselves, right? And so those of you that had hands laid on you, please let me know testimonies of how your hearing gets better, because it's going to. Amen? God doesn't do that for just for fun to get people excited. He does it because He wants to help you. And your testimonies will help us, when we can share it with people, to build other people's faith. Amen? Praise God. Well, I feel a release in my spirit now to go on. I just was felt like a roadblock there, and I just know to stop and see what the heck you want to do, Lord. And so, Genesis 22 and verse 1, it says, "It came to pass after these things that God did tempt," or you could say it this way, "test Abraham. And he said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. He said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you lovest." Now, it's important to know the backstory that Isaac was the son that Abraham had when he was 100 years old, when Sarah was 90. It was a miracle of God. And so Isaac is very special, like any child would be, but Isaac is really special in the sense that he's a miracle baby. And so he's a young man here. And he says, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you lovest, and get into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I tell you of." And you might read that and say, "What in the world, God? You have lost your mind." Right? I mean, God's telling me, after 25 years of believing Him for this child, and I have him when he's 100, when I'm 100 and my wife's 90, to now take him up and to murder him? Well, see, when you know God, what seems crazy can't be, because He's full of love and mercy.
Amen.
Abraham is a man who trusted God. We know, because in Genesis chapter 12, the Bible says, "Get up out of this land, Abraham, and go. I'm not even going to tell you where to go, just start going." And Abraham listened to God. He trusted Him. Praise God.
Amen.
And so He's telling him, so when He says that Abraham was tested by God, God doesn't test you through sickness.
Right.
God doesn't test you through having you lose your job and your money going down the drain, your business slow. That's not... Devil does those things.
That's right.
The test that comes from God is, are you going to obey His word or not?
Amen.
There's a test every single day. It's called the word of God. It's called your spirit. And when God tells you to do stuff, God instructs you on a Sunday, on a Wednesday, or you're in your personal meditation with Him, and you read something, you see it in the word, something that you're instructed to do, or God speaks something in your heart. That's the test. So Abraham has been presented with a test. Are you going to obey me, Abraham? He says, up on the mountains of which I will tell you of. That must have been a heavy thing to realize. But see, I honestly don't think it even was a heavy thing for Abraham. And I'll tell you why in a little bit. Because his trust was so much in God, he knew there had to be more to this situation.
Amen.
Because on the surface, forgive anybody, on the surface it seems, that's crazy, how can I do that? But there's more to it. Your faith's affected by it. On the surface, bring a tithe, that seems kind of crazy and whoa, but there's more to it. God's trying to get more in your life. Amen? Do you see what I mean? Praise God. So anyways, he says in verse 3, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place which God had told him." He obeyed. "Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, saw the place afar off." I mean, my goodness, a 3-day journey. The whole time knowing what God has told him to do. Talk about trust.
Yes, amen.
"And Abraham said unto his young man, Abide here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." Oh, he called obeying the word of God worship.
Amen.
I saw that for the first time.
Hallelujah.
He called and said, "I'm going to go obey the word of God, which I'm going to be, you worship God by your obedience."
Praise God.
Praise God. And, "We will come again to you," verse 6, "Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, My father, and he said, Here, my son." Now, Isaac's starting to get wise to some things. He said, "Behold, I see the fire in the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together. What a heart-wrenching question. But when you trust God, it's not heart-wrenching. A heart-wrenching question asks, Dad, where's the... See, he didn't know he was going to be the burnt offering. And Abraham said, don't worry, God will provide one. I love it. Love the faith. Verse 9, and they came to the place which God had told of him, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. You know what else I love to see? It was the submission from Isaac. The trust that Isaac had, praise God. Submission's a dirty word in church. A lot of people don't want to submit. They don't want to submit to a pastor. They don't want to submit to authority. They don't want to submit to the Word of God. They don't want to submit to what the Word says. It gets people in trouble.
That's right.
Gets people in trouble. Hallelujah. If you think you're going to be your own general in this world, you're wrong.
Yeah.
You're wrong. Praise God. Always somebody's going to know more than you. Always somebody's going to be more anointed than you to help you get to that next place. That's the way God has set it up. God's plan always has been from the beginning of time to anoint people to help people get higher. There's someone in my life anointed who's far more spiritual than I am, who's far more anointed than I am, to take me higher to another level. And I submit myself to that because it's just submitting to the Word.
Amen.
I don't submit to a man under hero worship and that the man himself has anything great to offer in the sense that can get me to where I need to go spiritually, but the gift on his life sure can.
Amen.
And because the Word says so, I submit to that. And I love to see Isaac's submission here. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. He was going to obey God. Praise God. And see, again, if you're looking at it wrong, you're thinking, my God, this Bible stuff is sick and twisted. But see, God never intended for Abraham to kill Isaac.
That's right.
Ever. He intended to see how much are you going to trust me? See, what this would do is build such a... See, God was about to cut covenant through Abraham to bring Jesus Christ onto the earth. He needed a man he could trust.
Amen.
Didn't he?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven. So Abraham's got his hand up, ready to drop the knife down. And said, Abraham, Abraham, he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him, for now I know that you fear God. What's the fear of God? Reverence and obedience. I fear God, not from the sense of, what are you going to do to me, Father? Oh, you're going to strike me down. No, no, no. He fears God by having reverence enough to obey what he says.
Amen.
The fear of the Lord is simply being in reverence of him to do what he has said. Praise God.
Praise
God. So now I know that you have feared him, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram was caught in the thicket by his horns, and Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Or maybe in your center part of your Bible there, like mine does, it tells you the more correct Hebrew translation of that word Jehovah Jireh, which means the God who will provide.
Amen.
As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Now I'm not going there today, but it's worth pointing out that God said, I'm Jehovah Jireh. He said, I am the God that provides. Well, my Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Hallelujah.
If he's providing back then, he's providing now. Praise God. And see, sometimes we get nervous. See, when deadlines come and things start ticking down and we're getting threatened with things and the pressure's building, we're all nervous. God's not nervous.
Amen.
God wasn't nervous when Abraham was about to do that. He said, no, I'm always on time. See, you got to have that faith in that Jehovah Jireh God, that it'll show up. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says, my God shall supply all your needs.
Yes.
That means, for there to have to be a supply for a need, guess what's going to have to come on the scene first? The need. The need is going to have to appear before the supply comes, because if there's no need, there's no need for a supply. So he says, my God shall supply all your needs. So the need shows up. We don't fret about the need showing up, because we know the supply is following the need.
Amen.
If we're being faith about it, praise God. We want to be faith people. Well, faith people will look lack in the eye and say, you ain't staying lack for long. Supply's on its way, lack.
Right.
And we don't fret. Oh, it's getting close. Oh, there's deadline. No, 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 you fret it. If you have faith, it's coming.
Amen.
He's not a liar. Anyways, it says, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of him a second time, verse 15, now verse 16, and he said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord. Notice this, because you have done this thing, and have not withheld your son, your only son, that in blessing I will bless you, multiplying I will multiply you as the seed, as thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and the sand which is upon the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because, everyone say because you obeyed my voice.
Amen.
I want to look at a few things from this morning that we can learn for our own lives. And I feel a release to say this. The Bible says in the last days, this is in Acts chapter 2, God will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Well, one of the things that He'll pour out His Spirit on is through dreams, through visions and revelations and different things. The Bible talks about prophecies and stuff like that. I've only been used in dreams by God. Most of my dreams are pizza dreams. Not dreaming about pizza, but I had too much pizza the night before and I'm going to bed. Whoa! What in the world? I found myself in a Harry Potter movie or Lord of the Rings. My God. You should join me sometime. It is the funnest thing. I love dreaming. I just love it. But there's times where, only a few handful of times where God has used me in a dream, and to know, how do I know if it's God or not? You'll know. That's how you'll know. You'll know it's God. It's not confusing. You'll know what it's for. God speaking to you in a dream. He's not led to try to confuse you. And this morning, right before I woke up, I had a dream, and I was preaching this message in the dream, and I knew I was supposed to preach it this morning. He gave me all the points. It was the shortest preparation time I've ever had in my life. All I did was wake up, wipe the eye boogers out of my eyes, and I was ready to preach. The message was there. Praise God. So God's wanting to say something this morning. Hallelujah. And notice I make sure to tell you that in Acts chapter 2 that those things are legit, because if you just hear that, you think, you see people getting their hands on them, if you don't explain the Bible part of it, it could really trip some people up, because a lot of things that God does are spiritual things, and the natural mind and the natural flesh can't comprehend them. It doesn't make sense why laying hands on people, why some people with hands laid on, they can't even stand up. That the power of God, it doesn't make sense to the mind and the flesh. In fact, the mind and the flesh will criticize that. The mind and the flesh will, but then when you look at the Word, you see the same thing happen in the Word, it brings balance to it.
Amen.
When you hear the pastor say, well, the Lord gave me a dream, and then the fruit will prove out by the message, and God will speak to every one of your hearts, you'll see, well, that's weird. He said dream, but then you see in the Word that dreams are biblical, and then the fruit of it comes to pass, and God speaks to you, and I had nothing to do with it, except I just had to sleep. I mean, that was awesome. I wish I could prepare every week like that. Just go to bed, wake up, and there you go. Amen. Praise His name forevermore. Well, the first thing I want you to see, and this is non-negotiable, that the doing of the Word brought all the blessings that came after.
Yeah, that's right.
The doing of the Word. The doing of the Word is non-negotiable if you want to walk into the abundant Zoe, heaven on earth kind of life. You have to be a doer of the Bible.
Amen.
Go with me real quick to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. This is kind of just the foundation for the next few points, just to put some solid ground underneath our feet. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't stress to you enough all these things that I talk about, prosperity and protection and blessing for your children and blessing in your marriage and blessing in your business and blessing in your body, whatever, if I already mentioned that, all these good things that I talk about, they are conditional.
Yeah.
And you'll never, ever see the goodness of God in your life to the degree that God wants it if you're not a doer of His Word. Abraham, and we'll look at some of those blessings in a second to even bring out the point further, he walked into what he walked to because the Bible said, because you have obeyed my voice. The Bible points directly to why all those good things happened. He obeyed the Word of God. God said something. Abraham said, sign me up, sir. Yes, sir. Whatever you want. Praise God. Matthew 7 and verse 24, listen to what Jesus said. He said, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, and, everybody say and. Hearing them's part of it. Praise God, we get half of the sticker this morning. We have little star stickers in the spirit. We got a half of one. We ripped it right in half. But we ripped it in a way so good that we put the other one together and we won't even know we ripped it.
Amen.
But you got a half of the star. You did half of it. You're hearing the Word this morning. Amen. Praise God. You deserve to be commended, especially. I left my house. It was 2 degrees. I got here. It was 7 below. I said, what in the world? We're going the wrong direction. And you're here, you came out. It wasn't convenient to do that, but you're here. But see, that's half the sticker. He said, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. And does them. I will liken him, or that person, unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. Well, that's a good thing to build upon, right? A foundation. In verse 25, it says, "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew." Notice this. The hearer and the doer of the word is not exempt from the tests and the trials. But what the hearer and the doer of the word is exempt from is the defeat of the tests and the trials. Because Jesus said the winds will come, the flood will come, the rain will come and blow and beat upon that house, but it won't fall because it was founded upon the rock, which was what? The Word of God. Amen. When you do the Word, it's like putting a foundation under you, getting you ready for when the storms come, and you stand firm, praise God. Hallelujah. But, unfortunately, we got to go on in verse 26, and he says, "Everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not." So he said, "And," which means it's going to happen. So evidently, there's going to be people that will actually hear the Bible and not do it. To me, that is crazy. I can't comprehend it because I can say honestly, I've learned more about God being real in the times when I've disobeyed than the times when I've obeyed, because it seems so real when you miss it and you know you miss it and things come because you miss it and you didn't move into what God had you be. I've learned that's Bible's real, sowing and reaping, wages of sin, not doing the word. So I just decided, let's just make life easy. Let's just do what the Bible says. It takes the guesswork out of things. Hallelujah.
Amen.
People have, when we used to do youth group, parents would pull their kids out and they'd say, "That church is trying to brainwash my child." And I had no argument against that. I was like, "You're right. That's exactly what I'm trying to do. Brainwash your child to the Bible. I want your child thinking nothing but the Word. When a situation comes up, they do what the Bible says. When they need something, they go with what the Bible says, because there's victory every time you do that." So yeah, I'm sorry, I am trying to brainwash. And guess what? If you notice or not, this is a secret. Don't tell anyone, but I'm trying to brainwash all you too. I mean, we're just trying to raise up a whole bunch of brainwashed Bible-doing robots. See, now what gets weird is when people have been brainwashed to drink the Kool-Aid and do weird, goofy things, but we're just brainwashed to do the Word. It's kind of like a horse, right? I noticed yesterday some Amish people going by me, and those horses have blinders on, right? Just straight ahead. We just want you to, we don't want you focusing on everything else. Just put Word blinders on and just do the Word. Just make up your mind that I'm not going to question it. I'm not going to argue with it. I'm not going to wonder. If it says to do it, I'm just going to do it. That will help you so much. Abraham must have been at that place. For God to tell him, imagine God coming to you and say, "Hey, pick up everything you have and leave your family." Not talking about, you know, wife and kids, but like maybe you have parents around or brothers and sisters or cousins, whatever, a family situation. He says, "Hey, get up and just start going and leave." If God knew that to you, how many of your real ones would still be sitting down saying, "I must have had too much pizza"? That can't be God. Right? But he must have got to a place in life where he said, "I'm a God robot. If he speaks it to me, I just do the command."
Amen.
You'd have to take your son up on a mountain, get a knife out, and get ready to...
Yeah.
You'd have to just be a God-doing robot.
That's right.
Takes the guesswork, takes the thinking out of it. He says, "Anyone that does hears these sayings of mine, does them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man." And I don't mean to be crude, and I don't mean to be to bring it down a level in the service, but you know what a synonym of foolish is? Stupid.
That's
right. Caleb's at home right now. He just looked at mommy and he said, "Daddy just said stupid." I know that's what just happened at home. We don't say that word a lot, you know? But that's what the Bible says. Well, how many of you here want to be called stupid? Nobody wants to be called stupid. But the Bible, Jesus said, that's what I'm going to call somebody. A fool that hears what I say, because he's thinking, I mean, where did Jesus get off thinking that what he would say would be so perfect for somebody, exactly what they need to hear, and result in the best possible outcome? I mean, how dare he think that? But that's what he thinks, and so he's thinking in his mind, why aren't they doing what I tell them to do? I love them more than anybody loves them. I will do more for them than anybody can do for them. And what I tell them will bring them into more than anybody else can ever bring them into. And he's just so confused. He said, "You have to be stupid."
Yeah, that's good.
And
I'm
lying.
Yeah.
But think about it. He's confused. Like, I don't understand this. Why wouldn't you do what I'd say? I'm perfect. That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
So I'm perfect. I know the end from the beginning. I know that if you do this, this will result. I know that if you do this, this good thing will happen. So why wouldn't you listen to me? Because we don't trust him. We don't trust him. Hallelujah. He says, I liken him unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and the sand test came, and beat upon the house, but there was a different result, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And I've seen that. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in other people's lives. See, once you become in the know, you're held to a greater standard. And when you're a baby Christian, there's more leeway for things. You don't have to use your faith as much. There's more leeway for messages. But I'll tell you what, when you come into the light of the Word of God, there's a responsibility to do it.
Amen.
Yeah, actually the Bible says it would be better for you to have not known it at all than to turn away from what the Word says.
Yeah.
Because there's a greater measure of judgment. That's not a bad thing, because the more we know about the Word, the greater ability of blessing we get to have. Praise God. So he says it's dumb. He says, you're going to crumble if you don't do the Word. You're going to crumble. That's why I tell people financially, get your money out of your way of doing it, get it into God's system, and then when the economy goes south, and the oil prices do whatever, and gas prices go whatever, and the grocery store, it doesn't affect you because you're not in the world's economy. See, God's economy, regardless of what Wall Street's doing, regardless of what the stock market's doing, God's economy, for those that will do it God's way, are promised amongst all the madness and chaos and lack and poverty around them, you will walk in blessing, you will walk in provision. Why? Because you've put your money in the hands of the King. It's true. So I'm not, it doesn't matter to me. Wars, rumors of wars, or, I mean, I don't want those things to happen. Stock, oil, I don't care. I'm walking in prosperity. Why? I've chose to do it God's way. God's kingdom is prosperity 24/7. And you say, well, I don't know, but didn't he say, in Psalm 23, he said, I will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He's saying, while everything around you is chaos and crazy, he said, you can eat. You can be blessed in the midst of all of it. It's true. It'll spare you. It'll help you. It'll bless you doing it His way. So number one, doing the Word, the doing of the Word is what brought blessing, and that's non-negotiable. When I say that, of course, you can do whatever you want, obviously, but it's non-negotiable if you want to move into more of what God has for you. You can't not do the Word. You have to do the Word. And let me tell you what doing the Word is. Congratulations, you're here today, but that's not fully qualified. Congratulations that you take notes, but that's not fully qualified. You know where the rubber meets the road? When you walk out of here, and Sunday night comes, and Monday morning comes, and Tuesday comes, and the next offering comes, and the next person that's wronged you comes along the way, and you're to walk in love towards them, or the next person that's wronged you that you haven't forgiven. That's where the doing of the Word proves it out. Are you a doer of the Word? Well, coming to church is partly being a doer of the Word. God told you to do that. Being a good student, that's a good thing. The Bible says to do that. But there's more to doing the Word than just coming here. It's going out there and doing it.
Amen.
Some people, man, they come in here and they live like heaven. They go out there and live like hell.
Yeah, that's
it's true. Talk about people wearing their Sunday best. You know, I'm talking, some people put on their Sunday best costume. They come here all smiley, all cheery, and they walk out of here, treat their spouse bad, walk out of here, talk about everybody, walk out of here, have doubt and unbelief. But in church, they're amen and pastor, and he says, live by faith, and they walk out of here. They're not doers. They're fakers of the Word. Praise God. And see, that's where the rubber meets the road. Are you going to come out of here and do what the Bible says to do? Well, if you want to be blessed, you'll become a God robot and just do it. I can't stress it enough. Number two, the doing of the Word, you need to know this going into it. I love it. This is just points the Lord gave me. They didn't even study these or nothing. Is the Word's not always convenient.
That's right.
Doing the Word will not be convenient. How convenient was it for Abraham to pack up his family and just wander to a place that God didn't even show him? He just had to start walking. There, brother, north, south, east, west. He said, just go.
Yeah.
And then I'll direct you. That's not convenient.
No.
That's not convenient. It's not convenient to say, take your son, your only son, whom you love. It's like God rubbing it in. To really see if he's going to trust you. He's pointing out, you really love this boy, now take him up and kill him. That's not convenient. That is not convenient. You know, when Jesus told me almost 6 years ago, in June of 2010, he told me to quit my job and start this church in a storefront in South Dayton. And the only people signed up at the time when the Lord told me to start it was me, my wife, and the bowling ball that was Caleb inside my wife's belly. He was a big bowling ball. It's like a 10-pounder. And that was it. I'll tell you what, you talk about inconvenient. That wasn't convenient, but the Lord said to do it. And thankfully, I'd learned enough up to that point is when God speaks, you listen. When God speaks, you listen. But it's not convenient to do that. It wasn't convenient to do that, to quit that job. It was very, very, very inconvenient. Very inconvenient. One time, well, during that time when we quit that job, and I've told you, it put us about $1,200 to $2,000 short for almost 2 years that went on. And every month God provided for us in supernatural ways, and so much we paid off $60,000 worth of debt in 2 years. We didn't just make our payments. We obliterated debt during that time. We just did it God's way. Everything He told us to do, we did it. We sowed big seeds during that time that could have gone to debt and different things, but God told us to do it in the harvest we reaped. I told you the story that I had somebody give me a check for $9,000 that would probably, if you give them truth serum, would stand up and tell you that they are not very fond of me. Well, join the club. There's a whole lot of them people. Just because of my past and different things, they can't get over it. But God moved upon them and they gave me a check for $9,000 in the midst. And it wasn't from the church. Because sometimes people hear that and think, oh man, did they, or people feel forced? No, I don't tell you to ever give me anything. I'm grateful for everything. Don't expect anything. It wasn't from the church. It was outside the church. It wasn't even someone that goes to church. But they did it. And it's a miracle. Well, that was during the time we were $1,200 to $2,000 short, and if we're paying off $60,000 worth of debt, you can see what my financial life was like. It was a mess. My student loan money was used to buy a motorcycle one time. Well, that was smart. Another student loan check was used to hike around the Colorado Rocky Mountains for a couple of weeks with Pastor Tim. I mean, what wisdom these pastors have. Oh, man, you're in the hands of something here. And you better start praying for me. And so, needless to say, I had a lot of mess in my life financially. So when a check for $9,000 comes through, how many of you know every bit of that $9,000 can go to what I need it to? I need every penny of that. But you know what the Bible says? Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. In fact, Malachi 3 verse 8 says, you have robbed me in your tithes and your offerings. And God tells us all through the New Testament to be generous and bring. So I knew out of that $9,000, $900 of it automatically went to God. And people think, oh my gosh, wait a minute, now stop. Now He let you keep 90.
Yeah, that's right.
He let you keep 90. You say, well, it's my money. Oh, really? What do I always say? It's your money? How'd you make that money? You went to work? Well, let me ask you, how did you keep working? Because you breathed. Let's have Him shut the air supply off and see how well you do at your job, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
People get so greedy. Oh, it's my money. Oh, really? God gave you a body to work. God gave you a sound mind. God gave you an air supply. God gave you a favor to live in this country. Yeah, oh, that's my money, my money, my money. Trust me, I know. I used to be there. Didn't get me anywhere, by the way. And so the Lord said, so I knew my heart. $900 went to Him, and I don't stop there. There's an offering He needs to go through. I'll tell you what, that was not convenient. Because I needed every penny of that money, but I obeyed God. And I'll tell you what, oh, did it lead to some things.
Amen.
It did. It's not convenient to do it. Going to church is not always convenient. I don't know about you, but it was not convenient to go out this morning.
Right.
And to come in, to get out of my nice warm bed. Was it convenient for you? Was it convenient for you to get your kids ready? I'll tell you what, you made the sacrifice. It's worth it, though.
Yeah.
Because the Bible says you need to come to church and get watered by the Word, that He's got something for you. Yeah. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
People got their ears healed today because they came to church.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And if you don't sense anything in your ears, that's what faith does. Faith says, I thank you, Father, I receive my healing. And happy Valentine's Day, everyone. Praise God. Y'all look so pretty out there in Valentine's Day outfits. Praise God. Well, happy Valentine's Day. And you say, on Valentine's Day, 2016, I got my healing. But I can't feel it. So what? So your point? Thank you, Father, for my healing. When Pastor Mike laid hands on me, the anointing went in there. Thank you, Father, for my healing. And it'll happen. If it already hasn't. Going to church isn't convenient. So, number one, doing the Word is what brought the blessing. It's non-negotiable. Number two, doing the Word is not convenient. Number three, doing the Word doesn't always make sense. Do you think it made sense to Abraham? Take your son that you've been believing me for, that I've promised you for 25 years, take him now and murder him. Does that make sense to anybody?
No.
Doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to me. Why, I'll have what I say. Doesn't make sense to my natural mind how my words can create things, and they have created things.
Amen.
There was a thing that happened with the building. Now, this was a Wednesday night, if you remember, that if you were here, we were praying. And all of a sudden, I sensed something in the spirit about the building. I don't know if you remember or not, but after we done, we broke through that. I didn't know exactly what it was, but something tried to hinder us with the building. Well, we have taken out a loan specific to what they said will cost to build the building. Well, something unforeseen and unexpected showed up that we would need that would have been 50, it was a code regulation type thing, that would have been $50,000. And the Jay Eckert, the guy running the project back there, I said, well, is it a guarantee we have to do this? And I just got off the phone with the code enforcement officer. He said he will not give us a permit, a certificate of occupancy until we have such and such, whatever. Actually, I'll just tell you what it was. It was the code required for that building to have a sprinkler system. And the New York State new adopted code was going to be that any building with 100 people. Well, every architect that we had look at it, all the builders said that is erroneous. Even the code enforcement guy said it is ridiculous that New York State would require that in a building of that size when it's slab on grade, there's no basement, and there's all those exits that we'll have. Our building's going to be safe. By the time a fire started in that thing, we'd all be out the door. And they all said, the professor said, it's erroneous and it's unreasonable that they would ask us to do that in that building. Well, then the price went up to $65,000. And it kept going up. Well, when he said, I said, well, do we have to do it? They said, yeah, we have to. He won't give it to us. He said, they don't think it's right. It's unreasonable. Something clicked in my spirit. Unreasonable. Well, I've heard that word before. The Bible says we are delivered from unreasonable and wicked people. I said, well, if we're delivered from unreasonable people, that means we must be delivered from the requests of unreasonable people.
Amen. That's good.
And so I started every day, just like when I was holding that baby and confessing that money, every day when I would walk my dogs, and if I would think about it, I'd say, Father, I thank you that we are delivered from unreasonable and wicked people, which means I thank you we're delivered from having to do that project, which is $65,000 extra, which in the end, it always is more than what they say it's going to be anyways. And I said, I thank you we're delivered from it, Father. We will not have to have that sprinkler system. And I just kept saying it every day. Saying it every day. We will not have to do that. We can use that money. It's ridiculous. We will never use that.
Right.
So how do you know? I just know we will never use it.
Right. Amen.
And so I'm saying that. And I'm talking to him. I said, well, came up in my spirit, call the building code enforcement officer yourself. And I called him. I said, Gary, is there anything that we can do? I'm like, $65,000 for our church, we could do so much with that money. I said, we didn't even take that out in the existing loan. It's unexpected. And if I'm going to raise another $65,000, I want to use it for something that we're going to use. I said, Pastor, I'm sorry, my hands are tied and I can't do it. Your contractors will get in trouble. And I wasn't asking him to do anything shady. But I said, what, is there anything we do? He said, well, it's a 99.9% chance that it has to be done. Well, I got excited.
Yeah.
Because that's not 100.
That's right.
See, faith does not get... Okay, there's still time. Praise God. Well, what can we do? He said, you can submit paperwork for a variance that explain your building and everything, explain the cost of it. He said, it's most likely going to be rejected. And he said, 99.9%. He said, most times they reject these things because people don't want to be liable for stuff. He said, but you can try. So I got a hold of a gentleman. He's I don't think he's really a politician or a lawyer, but he works along those lines with legislation for buildings in New York State and up in the Buffalo area. And he's an architect, so he knows buildings. He came down and looked at our building. He agreed, this is ridiculous that you'd have to put a sprinkler system in this building. I mean, this building doesn't have one. He's like, just because the number of people was going to increase, he said, that's why you have to do it. He said, it's ridiculous. It's unreasonable. He said, they're going to make you do it because that's what the New York State code is. He said, but I'll help you get that paperwork and that variance figured out. And I said, okay, let's do it. And I, after I filled it out, I asked one of the, Josh Eckert, Jay's son, I said, how did Andrew, he's that guy, the guy's name, the architect doing all the work for us in the paperwork to submit this, I said, how does he feel about it? And he said, not good. He said, it's going to get rejected, but we'll give it a try anyways. Well, I got a text the other day.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
A listen to this. Pastor Mike, good news. We don't have to put in the sprinkler system. Praise God. So I call him back. I say, Jay, what happened? I have to know. He said, New York State just changed, and they both, I talked to the code enforcement guy and him, and they don't know why they did this. I know why they did it. They don't know why they did it. New York State just changed the code that it doesn't have to be 100 people for a sprinkler system, but 300 people for a sprinkler system. So I guess our next building will have to have one, but for right now, we know. And we can save $65,000. I don't know why my words... So how do you know it's your words? Because the Bible says I have what I say.
Right.
When all else fails, and everyone might have just said, oh, I guess there's no chance. Faith always has a chance. And faith is speaking. I don't know why. When I would say, all the money that we need, holding that baby, feeding that bottle, all the money we need, it comes. I don't know why that worked, but it did every single month.
Praise the Lord.
Yes. Praise God. I don't know why when I say an alien, new people will come. People come. Harvest is coming. It happens. I don't know why, but it does. So I'm a doer of the word. Doesn't always make sense.
Yeah. Praise you, Father.
James chapter 1 says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into diverse trials and temptations. Well, let me ask you this. How many of you feel like all of a sudden a financial trial rises in your life that you can't afford, or a physical thing in your body rises that doesn't feel good, or a rumor at your job, or something arises that puts you in a bad position? How many of you feel like going, woohoo, yeah? That's what James chapter 1 says. Count it all joy. Joy looks like something. Joy sounds like something when you fall into various tests and trials. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard to my mind. Because my mind, we want to go, pout, cry, grumble, moan, groan, and complain. But that's not what the Word says to do. The Word says, count it joy. Well, we've seen in the Word that for some reason, when you get to praising in the tough times, God's presence manifests and things start to change. Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16, at midnight, found themselves in jail for doing God's work, naked, chained up and beaten down. Well, you tell me what you'd feel like doing midnight in jail with no clothes on, your body full of stripes from being beaten. I'll tell you what I'd feel like doing. Where'd you go? That's what I'd feel like doing. Where'd you go? But that's not what they did. The Bible says at midnight they prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. They were out loud, naked in prison, beaten down, chained, rejoicing and worshiping the God that's going to deliver them. Doesn't make sense, but it worked. And it said, after they did that, suddenly, boom, the chains broke off. The doors of the prison flew open. God's power manifested. God said, shout at those walls of Jericho. When you do, they'll fall down. There's nothing you can't praise your way out of.
That's right. Hallelujah.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to be a faith person, faith has a voice. You know what the voice of faith is? Praise. Praise is the voice of faith. You say you're in faith, and there better be praise on your tongue, because that's what faith sounds like. Faith sounds like rejoicing. Faith sounds like giving God glory. Faith sounds like, I thank you, Father, it's going to turn out. It's going to work for my behalf. That's what faith does. Doesn't make sense, but it's doing the word. Count it all joy. So when you come in here grumping and groaning and looking all down and depressed, and I say, you're not doing the word. What are we going to do here? We first got to get you doing the word. Start rejoicing. Maybe that's what I should do. When you call me up all grumpy and down, you look at me and you look all down and mad like someone just stole your lunch or something, I'm going to say, you need to start doing the word. You start smiling right now. That's what I should do. Start praising Him. I can't help it till you start praising Him.
That's right.
So the word doesn't always make sense. I'll be honest with you. The tithing doctrine, to my mind, in the beginning, did not make sense to me. Now it does because I see what it's for. But bring 10%? Really? Because what I'm doing is I'm thinking, this is what I'm making a year, and this is what I'm going to... What? Doesn't make sense. But if you do it, see, that's the problem, is people don't do the word.
Yeah, right.
They're going streaks. And how do I say it sweetly?
Come on.
Don't believe God when you're blatantly disobeying the word of God. It won't work.
Yeah, right.
I don't mean just in money. Just like we talked about with your love walk last week. Don't believe God for your children. You can't treat your spouse right. Don't do it.
Yeah.
If you have unforgiveness and bitterness in your heart, stop believing for your children to be blessed and protected and all those things. God can't move in that situation. Stop believing God for money you need when you don't tithe. Stop believing God for this. It just won't work. I don't know how else to put it. It's the doing of the word. It's the doing. Because see, if God did for you what God said he would do if you did the word, but you don't do the word and God does it anyways, you know what that makes him? A liar. If I come downstairs and I walk into that playroom and I see it's messy and I don't say anything, I let Caleb step down, you know what that trains Caleb to go? Daddy's word doesn't mean that much. Daddy's word doesn't mean that much. And so if God says you got to be willing and obedient, then you'll eat the good of the land, and you're not willing and obedient, he can't put you in the good of the land. He'd be a liar.
That's good.
See how this all hinges on us, not him?
Yeah.
It all hinges on him, or on us, not him. All of it, praise God.
Amen.
Do the word. And the last but not least, go with me to Genesis. So you're probably still in Genesis 19, or Genesis 22, I mean. Genesis 22. And we'll close with this, the verse I want to go to. Genesis 22 and verse 16. Now get this, and then I'll tell you what the last point is that the Lord gave me. And said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord. So this is God speaking through the angel. For because you have done this thing. Done what thing? Obeyed God. Did the word, right? Because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you. Notice he said, after you do the word, there's blessing. So guess what's waiting on the other side of obedience? Blessing.
Blessing.
Blessing I will bless you. Multiply, I will multiply the seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Your seed shall all, and in your seed all nations of the earth shall be blessed because you obeyed my voice. Have we go back to verse 17. It says, blessing I will bless you, multiply I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. Look at this now. And your seed, excuse me, shall possess the gate of his enemies. Abraham's obedience translated into other people being delivered from bad things that would come their way. Abraham's obedience today translated and down the road when the enemy rises up to being defeated because of someone's obedience today. Your obedience to the word, this isn't even the point, but this is good anyways, is attached to more than just you. All these future people that were blessed because of one man's obedience. And the fourth point I want to tell you is this. Tomorrow's blessing that you can't see. Abraham couldn't have seen by doing that, that people down the road, when enemies would rise up against his seed, I'll tell you what, who do you want to be more protected in life? Your seed, your children, your family are the ones you want the most blessed out of anybody. He said, your seed are going to possess the gate of his enemies because of what you did right here. Abraham didn't see that and know that. He didn't know at the time he was obeying. But see, tomorrow's blessing that you can't see yet is hidden behind the obedience of doing the word. We do know that what's behind the obedience is good. We do know that it's a blessing and that it will be good for you, but we don't know what it is. But thank God Abraham obeyed.
Amen.
Because now his children are going to reap the obedience of that man.
Good.
It's important, ladies and gentlemen, that you obey the word, not just for yourself, for those that would come in contact with you, for those that are directly dependent upon you. It matters. And tomorrow's obedience, or today's obedience to the word, you don't know what's hidden behind there, but there's something that you can't see that depends on you obeying the word of God.
Amen.
Some of the things that my wife and I have walked into, and we're nobody, we're not, by far have not arrived, and there's way more that I don't know, I'm first to admit that. But I'll tell you what, we've walked into some things that spiritually, financially, with our family and things that 5 years ago I would never, ever, ever fathom for my life. I'm just telling the truth. And 10 years ago, never even would have thought the direction that the Lord would have for us, what he has for us. In all areas are the result of the right decisions I made back then. Of doing the word back then, things manifest now. So my question is, what do you want your tomorrows to look like? Because your tomorrows will be dependent on your obedience today. It's just the truth. That's why when we talk about a message like love, there's no option. You just forgive, because that's what the Bible says. You don't question it. Yeah, but. No. See, we need to get some spiritual Suzanne Summers thigh and bum masters in here to get all the buts out of the church. Because people say, yeah, but. No, the yeah, but's what's trying to keep you back. The only thing that matters, see, stop trying to bring your situation and try to bring the Word to change to your situation. No, your situation always goes to what the Word says.
Amen.
Yeah, but they did this. It doesn't matter. The Bible says forgive them.
Yep,
yeah, but the economy doesn't matter. The Bible says tithe. Yeah, but... Yeah, but... Cancel the butts right out.
Yes.
So I'm going to lose a couple of inches on the rear ends. Get the butts out of here, right? Just do it. Nike, swoosh. Just do it.
Amen.
Love, then love. Give, give. Attend church, attend church. Forgive, forgive. Be honorable, be honorable. Don't talk about people, don't talk about people. Just stinking do it.
Amen.
That's the one we'll make that our phrase. Because just do it's taken.
Yeah.
Just stink and do it. Is that all right? Just stink and do it. So Trishina, if you're listening in Oregon, Trishina put on her Bible, just do it. You're going to have to change that. Just stink and do it. If you want to be a part of this church, it's just stink and do it. Praise God. So I can urge you going forward. Whenever you hear the Word, and I'll turn this off and close this down to give you hope that it's over. Don't get tripped up with thinking, my God, Pastor, there's so much here, or I've just come into this, or there's so much I need to know. Stop. Here's what you do. God says that we all progress at different levels and different speeds. We work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. When you come to church, when you hear the Word of God, and it comes across your life, you say, I'm not doing that. Just adjust that day. God's not expecting you to be perfect in one day. God's not expecting you to get it out. But He is expecting when you do hear the Word to make the adjustment for you and your family because so much depends on it. Just make the adjustment. And then next week, if you hear something or if you come on a Wednesday night and you hear something, okay, make the adjustment. Don't let this scare you. A lot of this all wraps together and there's just a few common themes through this whole book. Yeah. You don't understand how blessed you'd be if you just do the Word, walk in love, and walk by faith. Oh, your life would change.
Amen.
Just those three things. Just do the Word. Just simply do the Word. That way, when you hear the Word, you'll do it. You don't have to worry about what are the other things I'm missing. Trust God enough that if you're in an area that you're missing it to the point that's going to hurt you, He'll reveal it to you. Either through your pastor, through prayer, through your personal study time in the Word. Don't get tripped up and think, well, He's saying me doing the Word. Depending. I don't know the whole Word. You don't have to. I don't know the whole Word either, but I'm growing. And when I learn something, I make adjustments. And when I find out I'm not doing something, one thing I'm not doing is beating myself up over the head. I'm just saying, Father, okay, I didn't know to do that. Or, Father, I'm doing it wrong. Forgive me. Now let's start doing it right. And that's all there is to it. Let's pray. Father, we love You. Thank You this morning for the Word of God. We're blessed. We give You praise. Again, thank You for such precious, faithful people that would come out on what could be the coldest day of 2016, Father. We're just so thankful that people are so hungry for the Word of God. And Father, You helped us this morning. Thank You for helping us. Father, I had it in my head to go a different direction today, but You changed that. We're thankful, Father. This will spare people. This will help people. Lord, there's so much that depends on us obeying You. Father, there's children involved. There's finances involved. There's health. There's favor. There's people walking into blessings that they never would have walked into without the obedience. Father, so many things I can look back on my life and say that to be here pastoring two churches that are growing and to have the honor and the privilege to do that, Father, so many things I had to do, obey You to get to this point. Father, it didn't just happen. There's many areas where I could have walked away or I could have disobeyed, but Father, if there's one thing I do know, Lord, it's just that Your way is best. Father, I claim to not know a whole lot, and I know there's way more that I don't know, but Father, I do know that Your way is best. I am sold out and convinced of that fact. I know that is the truth. So, Father, I pray that everybody here would not be discouraged, not be overwhelmed by the Bible, or maybe they're not in kids anymore, and they're adults, or maybe they're later in life, and that they wouldn't get discouraged, that, wow, all this waste. No, just start doing it right now, and trust that God can restore things to you, and God can make up time to you. He's that supernatural. And so, Father, we just thank you and praise you as we go forward. We're going to be blessed. And if I could ask everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes. Now, if you've already accepted Jesus, you don't ever have to do this again. You don't have to raise your hand again. If you had a bad week or you disobeyed, we'll just ask him to forgive you. You don't have to ask him into your heart again. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so, if you're here today, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, or if you're listening by live stream, and you want to be accepted by him and you want to come into his family, it's free. All you have to do is believe that Jesus died and rose again. The Bible says if you call on his name, you'll be saved. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if there's anyone here that's never done this, you've never accepted Jesus, you say, I've gone to church. Well, that doesn't get you into heaven. Jesus wouldn't have had to die if you went to church. Just to get to church, we could just go to church then. He didn't need to die. You say, well, I've been a good person, Pastor. Well, that doesn't get you into heaven either. Jesus wouldn't have had to die. Or you might say, well, Pastor, I've done too many bad things. I don't think God would accept me. Listen, your bad things can't keep you out. Your good things can't keep you in. The only thing that can get you in is believing on Jesus. I know religion teaches you different, that religion teaches you that you have to jump through hoops and that you have to do all these things to please God to get him to like you. That's just not true. He said, if you believe on me, you'll be saved. That's all he said. For God so loved the world that whosoever would believe, that's the requirement, would not perish but have everlasting life. So if you're here today and say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus, I'm not going to embarrass you. I won't have you come up front. You're not going to say anything on your own, and you're not going to stand up. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. But if you want to receive Jesus for the first time and know that you're going to heaven and that you become a child of God and all these wonderful things that he has for you are available to you, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you just lift your hand in the air if you want to receive Jesus this morning? Anybody at all? I don't rush this because sometimes people are shy. Anybody at all in here that wants to receive Jesus for the first time, just lift your hand in the air. Anybody at all? Don't be ashamed. Don't let this moment pass you by. Anybody at all? Just lift your hand. Father, I don't see any hands in the service, but there might be people that are shy. Or there might be people listening by live stream or by archives in the future that have never received you. And Father, it's not the raising of the hand that gets us saved. It's the believing and the confessing. So if you're here today, if you're listening to me, you know that you want to accept Jesus, but maybe you didn't raise your hand, or maybe you're in a position where I wouldn't even be able to see if you did. Just simply cry out to him in a private moment. Just say, Lord, I do believe you died. I do believe you rose again. And I ask you to come into my heart. And if you do that, he'll enter. He said he stands at the door and knocks. He's just waiting for you to let him in. And he'll come in and take up residency. And then your next step is to get into a Bible teaching church that will teach you all what the Bible has to say and will tell you the truth of the Word of God. I can help you do that. Just let me know when you make this decision. Father, we love you. Let's just thank him for what he's done for us today. He keeps us safe with messages like this. He just wants us to be doers of the Bible. That's our guideline. That's our guideline. Don't go beyond the boundaries of the Word. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. Thank you so much for all you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget, before you leave, no Wednesday. Sunday through Thursday at 7 o'clock, Family Church Fredonia. Reverend Greer will be there. If you can't make it out, they will be on the website, Family Church Fredonia's website. You can catch those live streams. But I can't encourage and implore you enough, come out to those meetings. I do believe there is child care for them as well. So come out to those meetings. Not sure of the ages, so you might want to call or look at the website. Sorry I don't have the information. But you can give me a call later or shoot me a text and I can let you know. But go to those. You'll be blessed, I promise. And we'll hopefully see you at those meetings. If not, I'll see you next Sunday at 10 o'clock. You're dismissed.